I'm going to read the story, the familiar story of Christmas, our Christmas Bible reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the whole Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Well, good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas to you. Welcome to church on this beautiful Christmas morning, and welcome especially if you don't normally come along here to church at St. James, whether this is just part of your Christmas tradition or whether you're visiting from some other place. It's great to have you with us. My name's Alan. I'm the senior minister here. Let me lead us in prayer as we start to reflect on that Bible passage. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that what the angels announced to the shepherds that first Christmas night remains good news for us this Christmas morning. Amen. Well, imagine the experience of being at work as normal and unexpectedly being made aware of an event so jaw-dropping, so unlikely that you simply have to drop what you're doing and go to verify it for yourself. I'm referring, of course, to the botched Miss Universe announcement, which I was told about a couple of days ago, and I've gone back and checked online several times. Amazing. And I can hardly believe this, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, you know, postpone Christmas lunch, fire up your computer and have a look. What did you think I was talking about? Shepherds and angels. Oh, well, seeing as you mention it, it does make a fascinating contrast, actually, as to announcements. As we reflect on the Christmas events, we love the Miss Universe debacle, partly because it has the fascination of being bad news, partly because we have the comfort of knowing it's got nothing to do with us, and largely because it's a celebrity event. And we're always interested in things that happen to celebrities. By contrast, what we find in the Bible reading this morning is not bad news, but good news. And it is crucially relevant to everybody in this building. And it's not about celebrities, but about people who are of no particular importance. We heard the details. They're very familiar to us as part of the Christmas story. Joseph, along with Mary, who's heavily pregnant, is obliged to travel to Bethlehem because of the census. And we heard that while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Christmas is a bit of a sentimental time in our culture. And so when we hear these stories, we tend to bathe them all in a bit of a romantic light. But actually, when you think about Mary and Joseph, this was not only an enormously difficult experience for them, which it certainly was, it's also a profoundly human one. As far as we can tell, from Mary and Joseph's perspective, nothing particularly supernatural or mysterious happened that night. I mean, their night was probably difficult, probably anxious, but it was ultimately mundane, a baby being born. Nothing miraculous happened in the stable, no angels. In fact, as far as we know, Mary only ever once saw an angel in her whole life, maybe a year earlier when the birth of Jesus was initially foretold to her. Now, of course, God was intimately involved in everything that was happening in the stable. I mean, it's the birth of the Messiah. But what does it feel like to Mary and Joseph to have the power of God at work in their circumstances like this? What does it feel like? It feels like two fragile and tired people trying to cope with the most difficult night of their life. Isn't that interesting? And that's the normal way that God's power works in human lives. Just as later on in Luke's gospel, God will bring about our salvation through something as commonplace and human as the death of one person at the hands of another. Now, I don't know what sort of year you've had. It's that time of year when you reflect on those sorts of things. But if you want to see the evidence of God's power, of God's purpose in your life, the place to look is not in the miraculous and the staggering any more than it was for Mary and Joseph. They didn't get anything of that order that night. And yet God's eternal purpose for the entire universe was being played out in their circumstances. But perhaps the most surprising part, I think, of the events of that night was what happened concerning the shepherds. We heard in verse 8, very familiar words, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Being a shepherd was not a great job. Your whole life was shaped according to the needs of animals. For their sake, you had to live out in the open, because that's where animals live. On a good night, you slept outdoors. On a bad night, you slept outdoors in the rain. On a really bad night, you didn't sleep at all because you were fighting off predators, wolves and whatnot. It was just a terrible job. Shepherds were uneducated. They were often kids or young teenagers. They were basically the bottom of the heap. I don't watch a lot of TV, but one of my guilty pleasures is a reality TV show called Swamp People. I don't know if you've ever come across this. It's kind of, you cover your eyes and yet you can't look away. It's basically a show about people in the United States who live in the swamps of Louisiana. Don't deny that you've seen it. You've seen it. And their life is hard. They wear trucker caps and boiler suits, and they have beards. They make a living trapping and killing alligators. I'm not making this up. They speak a version of English that requires subtitles. And apart from the reality TV's curiosity in them, they're the kind of people who tend not to matter. They're swamp people. Nobody's sending focus groups out there to find out what the swamp people think about the presidential elections or anything like that. Now, the shepherds in our story, the shepherds outside Bethlehem, they're like swamp people. They're just doing their thing. Nobody pays any attention to them. Nobody cares what they think. And once you grasp that, you realise how crazy this is. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests." It almost feels like the angels have gone to the wrong address. There's a bunch of shepherds. And these swamp people are told a message. They're told, "This is good news." And they're told, "This is good news for everyone, but you are being told first." And the good news is this: they need rescuing, and the one who will rescue them has just been born. That's the message. And to cap it all off, they're invited to witness it. And then something appears which is unique in the entire Bible, namely, a colossal group of angels appears surrounding the shepherds, all praising God and going crazy, celebrating. Now, what do you learn in those events about God? Perhaps most obviously, you learn that he loves you enough to perceive that you need rescue, rescue from sin. He loves you enough to send a Saviour, born in Bethlehem. But there's more. As a minister, it's surprising to me how often I come across people, typically men actually, but not always, who think that church is not the place for them because they're not good enough. I mean, I understand it if people say, "I don't want to go to church because I think it'll be boring or something." But people say, "Oh, I'm not good enough," and they often resort, it's very unusual, this. They often resort to the same joke. I couldn't tell you how often I've spoken to men in particular, and they say, "Oh, if I came to church, the roof would fall in." And what's really going on is they feel as though they don't, why would the roof fall in? They feel that they don't belong, they're not the right sort of person. Perhaps they feel ashamed about some of the reality of their life, or perhaps they have an intuition, a guess about the sort of person that they need to be before they can really belong in a church. You might feel like that as you sit here this morning. I mean, you might feel safe under the cover of Christmas, but not for regular Sundays. But you know what? If that's you, think of the shepherds. I mean, these people are nobodies, really. They're not even named. We don't even know who they are. And you know what? They're not asked to do anything. We never hear about them again. I mean, they have no crucial part to play in any organisational sense. God simply has good news for them. That's it. That's the deal. God has good news for them. And that's how God works. Good news for nobodies. Grace. Later in the same book, the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is choosing his first disciples. Who does he pick? Fishermen. More swamp people. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Fishermen. And one of them actually tries a version of the roof will fall in line. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 5. Simon Peter fell at his knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." That's what he's saying. I have no place here. Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed Jesus. This is how God works. This has always been true. A bit later in the Bible, writing to a church group very similar to us as we sit here this morning, the missionary Paul said this. He wrote to the Corinthians and he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. That is, when you became Christians. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world, the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. He did this so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. You know what this is saying? God has good news for nobodies. And you see it so clearly here when you reflect back on that first Christmas night. And I want to say to you, as you sit here this morning, whether you're a regular St. James churchgoer or whether this is a one-off for you, if you're no spiritual giant, or if your life contains sin and inconsistency and shame, perhaps you feel intuitively that church isn't the place for you and these people aren't the people that you should be hanging out with. If that's you, God is calling you. I say that with the utmost seriousness. God is calling you. A Saviour has been born for you. Christ, the Lord. And you're every bit as qualified to come to him as the shepherds, as the fishermen, as the Corinthian Christians, as any Christian person in the 2,000 years since. It's a message not to be ignored. If I may put it this way, it's a message not to be deferred for another 12 months until another Christmas day rolls around. It's a message worth dropping everything for and looking into, just as the shepherds did. Let me lead us in prayer. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, for your heart of love and grace, that you bring good news of salvation to nobodies. And we thank you for that this Christmas day. In the name of the risen Lord Jesus. Amen.